And it was in their heart that that love that they shared, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit among themselves, that they would share with others. And the Bible tells us about us that we were actually in the heart of God before the universe existed. And as far as relationship goes, the desire that God had for relationship with us, the Bible says that God saw us in Christ before the foundation of the world. And it was in the plan and the heart of God that this day that we celebrate, Easter, was actually going to happen even before the world began. Because the Bible says it this way. It says that Christ was crucified right from the foundation of the world. And so God, it was God's heart and it was in his plan right from the beginning of creation and before that he would bring his story, his love story, to all mankind. And you are sitting here today, many of you have experienced that love story, and you've experienced it not as just, you know, a good story, but you've actually experienced the power of that love and that life right inside your own heart, inside your own being, and you've experienced the miracle that we celebrate at Easter. Because the miracle at Easter was not just Jesus being raised from the dead, which is the greatest miracle in the history of all time. In fact, it's the very center of history. Because on that day, on that moment, when Jesus rose from the dead, he defeated death itself. Now, we live in a world where we're completely surrounded by death. Everywhere we look, there's death. Every living thing rises up, you know, from whatever its first stages are through its life, and it dies. All living things die. The Bible says it like this. It says the flower comes up and it withers and it goes away. The grass withers and fails. It describes man's life like a vapor that's coming out of a kettle. It's just a whiff, and it's here today, and it's gone tomorrow. And I want to share with you what one person said, just the way that death basically passes on all people. One of the most reliable things in life is death. Death is the most democratic institution on earth. Now, this is for all the older thinkers here. Okay, think about this. Death is the most democratic institution on earth. It shows no discrimination. It tolerates no exception. The mortality rate is the same for every kind of person on earth the entire world over. Everyone dies. One death for one person. Totally equal. Totally democratic. The psalmist said it this way, Psalm 89:48. What man can live and not see death or save himself from the power of the grave? That's the reality of life on planet Earth. Everyone faces this. Young, old, good, bad, rich, poor. It doesn't matter how much wealth a person has accumulated. It doesn't matter how many accomplishments a person has. It doesn't matter how many earthly pursuits a person has given themselves to. It doesn't matter what a person has done with their life. Every single person inevitably is going to face death. That's the reality of life on planet Earth. This year, and in the last few years, this family, this church family, has experienced multiple deaths of people that are close to us. Some it's mums, dads, grandparents, cousins, uncles, aunts, our children. It's been very, very close to us. In fact, some of you may not know, Brenna, who is one of our people, is in Vancouver right now. Her brother just passed away. And here we have another situation. My wife right now is driving to Prince George to be with her mom. Her and Char, left at 8:30 this morning. My mother-in-law had a massive heart attack, and she's in the hospital down there. Now, she may live longer. We don't know. But the bottom line is, inevitably, death comes to all people. Now, that's part of God's story, and it's part of our story. But I want to say to you today that that is not the end of our story. And if it was the end of our story, just like the Bible says, we of all men would be most miserable. If we have hope in this life only, if this is all there is, your few years that you spend here and it's all over, we of all men are most miserable. You know, you're here today, you're gone tomorrow. What purpose is there in this life? What reason is there to exist beyond just trying to exist and get the most toys or get the most things you can in this life, if this life is all there is? But the Bible tells us, and God tells us, and he doesn't just tell us in words, he tells us by an actual life-transforming experience that many of you have experienced, and maybe some of you haven't, who are sitting in this room. God tells us about our future by giving us the first experience of life eternal right here, right now, in this world that we live in. And I want to read it to you in the Bible. It's found in John chapter 5. Jesus said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me," listen to these words, "has," not will have, "has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but," listen here, listen to it, here it is again, "but has passed from death unto life." Now I want you to think about that for a second. I experienced this in the month of November 1974 in a little church in Prince George, where I walked in off the street, my life completely destroyed by drug use and all the things that I was in. I went into that church not knowing what to expect. My mom dragged me in there. I didn't want to go. I went in to get her off of my back. I walked into that little church, and the presence of God was there. I didn't even know what it was. Didn't even know what I was experiencing, except I knew that there was someone there who was infinitely greater than any other person standing in that room. I prayed a very simple prayer that day. I said to God, "If you can do something with the tangled mess that I've made of my life, I will know that you are real, and I will serve you." That moment, I experienced this miracle that you just read about. He who believes in me has everlasting life. And it's hard to describe to a person who's never experienced it. But those of you who have experienced it, you know exactly what I'm talking about. It is as real as an experience as anything that we could possibly experience in this physical world, because it is completely transformational. That day, I walked out of the drug culture. I walked out of drug use, drug dealing, drug everything, drug addiction. I walked out of the whole thing instantaneously by the Spirit of God coming and taking residence in my life. I was a cusser of the highest order. It was hard for me to have a sentence that I didn't fill with all kind of profanities. The second that experience happened, my mouth completely cleared up. No one told me Christians don't swear, or they shouldn't swear, you shouldn't do this. No one told me that's bad or anything like that. The instant that Jesus Christ came into my life changed. And I'm telling you, it was like the whole world was different that moment. The Bible describes that moment, the moment that we believe on Jesus Christ and receive him, as being born again. And you can imagine how big of an experience that would be. If you were to go back and you were to be born again and you knew you were there, you know, you were aware of what was happening to you, and you actually experienced being born again. That's how transformational and how real this experience is. And this is what God says. For this purpose was the Son of God manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. And one of the works of the devil is death. The Bible says that the devil was the one who held the keys of death and of hell. And when Jesus descended into that place, into death, the Bible says that he took hold of the keys of death and hell. And when he arose, he defeated death. And then there's this amazing passage in the Bible where it talks about Jesus going to the cross, and at that cross, he blotted out the handwriting of sins that was against us, the record of our sins, the thing that kept us from having eternal life, that separated us from God, was this long list of sins that we had committed, and that we do commit, and that we will commit. Every sin that we have ever done, the Bible says that record of our sin was nailed to the cross of Jesus Christ. Bam! 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 The record of your sin nailed to the cross of Jesus Christ. And the blood of Jesus Christ flowed down that tree, and it blotted out the handwriting of those laws that were against you. And the Bible says that he took it out of the way. He nailed it to his cross. And then he says this. And in doing that, he spoiled, he shredded, he tore apart, he tore down the principalities and the powers and the rulers of the darkness of this world. And the Bible says he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in the cross. That's what happens when a person is born again. That victory enters a person's life. We are taken from death to life, not future, present tense. But there is something more coming. This agony that we experience in the reality of being in this life with these physical bodies and all of their failure, all of the weaknesses, everybody around us, you know, is experiencing the same thing. We are all surrounded by death. But that is not the end. That is not the end. And you could say it this way. Your story in this life from your birth until your death, you might say, maybe it's the first chapter. No, it might even be the first sentence in a long story, or maybe not even the first sentence. Maybe it's the first word in the first sentence in the first chapter of the story of your life, because the Bible says, he who believes on me has eternal life. This is but for a moment. Our lives on this earth are but for a moment. But there is much, much more for those who believe on Jesus Christ. And let me just read you this verse. The person who hears my word and believes on me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death unto life. Most assuredly, I say to you, this is not past, this is coming. It's not present, it's coming. Most assuredly, I tell you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those that hear live. I was one of those who heard the voice of the Son of God and experienced this. And many of you in this room heard the voice of the Son of God, and you experienced that. But then here's what he goes on to say. He said, for as the Father has life in himself, and he has granted the Son to have life in himself, and has given him authority to execute judgment, because he's the Son of Man. Do not marvel at this. For the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and will come forth, those that have done good unto the resurrection of life, those that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. I of myself can do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is righteous, because I do not seek my own will, but the one of the Father who sent me. Now, I want you to hear this. I want you to hear this. Jesus Christ died so that you could be forgiven. Jesus Christ died so that you would never, ever, ever have to come under judgment. He died to set you free from eternal judgment. And the choices are laid before all humans. There are the Bible says there is a road, a wide road, and many are on it. But there is a narrow road. And that narrow road that's in the middle of this wide road is the road that leads to eternal life. But God comes with an offer to every one of us. And he says, if you receive me, I will give you the power to become the children of God. And as children of God, I'm going to give you everything that belongs to me. You will be an heir and a joint heir with me and my son. And you will enter into the eternal life that I have for you. And it doesn't matter about the grave. My little girl Leah, passing away in October. The Moon family, Rick passing away right around the same time. Other family members in this room that you know who have passed away. Every single one of those people who is a believer in Christ, the Bible says that though they go into the grave, they live forever. And the Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. We go to be with him. That's the story of eternal life that God has given to every one of us as people. So I want to take a minute to pray. And if you could just close your eyes just for a minute, just pray with me. Maybe you're here and you're hearing this. Might be for the first time. Maybe you've heard this before, but you're listening to this and you're saying that this is real. If this is real, I want this. If Jesus is real, I want him. If Jesus rose from the dead and he did that to bring forgiveness to me, I want that forgiveness. If Jesus did all this so that he could come into my life and become a part of me and cause me to be born again, cause me to have a brand new life where there is sin is taken out of the way. There's nothing between me and God. I want that. And if that's you today, you don't need to wait. The hour is coming, and now is when those who hear the voice of the Son of God, those who believe and hear the voice of the Son of God, will live. Right now, you can open your heart and you can say, I want you. I want you. I want you in my life. I want this life that you have to give. Jesus, would you come into my life and would you make me new again? You can begin eternal life today. And death will have no sting. The grave will have no victory. Jesus, we thank you for what you did for us. We thank you that this Easter is a celebration of the ultimate Easter, the day that you went to the cross, the day that you defeated death and hell, the day that you went down and you took captivity, the thing that held us captive, you took it captive. The thing that caused every person to fear that what was coming at death. Jesus Christ became a person like us that he through death might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and to set free all people who their lifelong lived in fear of death. There is no more fear of death for those who receive Jesus Christ.